It makes every parent sick in their stomach whenever they lose a kid. We assume the worst. And if by God's grace we find our kid who has been lost, our response is usually something like, "What were you thinking?" It's never fun to lose a child, and we feel like lousy parents when we do, even while blaming our kid for not sticking by our side. If it makes you feel any better, even the holy couple, Mary and Joseph, lost their child, and for 3 days. For 3 days, Mary and Joseph searched for Jesus diligently after the great Passover feast in the bustling city of Jerusalem. And when they finally find him after searching, he is sitting in the temple amongst the theological elites, and he is dazzling hearers with his questions and his answers. It's an amazing scene for the parents, but just for a moment, because remember, they are upset. They are upset at their son for putting them through so much grief. Says Mary, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." Every parent in this room can sympathize with the blessed mother of God for chiding her son for not standing and hanging by her side. 3 days they searched, no doubt tortured by the prospect of never seeing their beloved child again. Now, children who get lost by their parents but are found usually have a reason or excuse for getting lost. Now, it never satisfies the parent. At the end of the day, you, O child, are the one who got lost. The sin is on your head, period. But at this point, similarities between our experiences and that of Mary and Joseph break down, because Jesus does have a reason, and it's a good one. It's a perfect one. He says, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" Mary and Joseph don't understand. They don't get it. But Jesus has to be in his Father's house. Now, Mary and Joseph are learning things as they go, and so we shouldn't blame them for not knowing everything. We have the luxury of having the entire Bible before us, and this helps to fill in the gaps and explain Jesus' answer. "I must be in my Father's house," says our Lord. And that response tells us at least two things. One, when Jesus says, "my Father," that means he knows. He knows he is the Son of the Most High God. And it also means that being in his Father's house means he will do his Father's bidding. He will do the work that he was sent to do. The Son and the Father are one, and the Son will do the will of the Father. Remember, Jesus is on a mission to redeem a sinful creation, even if his earthly parents have trouble understanding his answer and reason for staying behind. Christ will do what he came to accomplish. But this in no way means he did not care about obeying his parents. The text says the opposite. The text in Luke says he was submissive to his parents. He obeyed his parents as he grew in wisdom and in stature before God and man. Christ will keep the fourth commandment perfectly, even as he instructs his parents on what he was sent to do. He will do his Father's work, making right everything that has gone wrong in the world. The commandment that really jumps out of this text is the fourth commandment. Children are commanded to honor, love, serve, and obey their parents, and parents are commanded to do their divine duty of faithfully raising their children. But the command to love thy neighbor with all your heart, mind, and soul takes on a different meaning when that neighbor now has to live in your very own house. It's not as if you can tell the unruly, messy toddler. Here's your suitcase. Don't let the door hit you on your diaper on the way out. Children can be tough to love. They demand time, money, and lots of careful attention. But there is a teaching point in all of this, at least one. And that is, whenever we look at our kids, suddenly we have a different outlook on our parents. Now we know what they went through just to provide food, shelter, clothing, all the while raising us sinful children. We might think to ourselves, was I really that bad as a kid? To which the response is, oh no, you were much worse. Or my favorite, oh, he's just like you. When we reflect upon our childhood, there's really nothing to brag about. We sinned and gave our parents fits as our children sin and give us fits. No parent is perfect. It's a vocation that we fail at every day. Every day we can and should do better, but we don't. Every day we could do a better job at listening to and honoring our parents who are still with us. Sometimes we're too harsh with our children, and we speak when we have no business speaking. Sometimes we're too lenient because we're too tired and tuckered out to care about our child's rebellion. Sometimes we rebuke our children and we come down on them really, really hard when all they need is a hug. And sometimes we say nothing at all and so abandon our parental duties when the reality is, a strong word is needed. Sometimes we don't care about our neighbor as we care only about ourselves. In light of all this, thanks be to God for Christ's obedience. Luke records that Jesus, he wasn't that unruly child who was going to do whatever he wanted to do. He wasn't out only to suit his own whims and desires, but he comes to do the will of his heavenly Father. And Christ is obedient to his earthly parents. He puts himself under the law of God that includes even the fourth commandment, and he keeps it. He doesn't sin. And so he does what we cannot do. He loves God, and he loves man perfectly, righteously, in a manner that pleases even our Father in heaven. The Passover feast is mentioned in Luke. That's important. That was a central feast to the life of the first century Jew because it commemorated God's saving act of bringing his people out of bondage. The lamb's blood on the door spared his people from death just before God would pull his people out of Egypt. Now we can connect some dots here. We can connect some dots when looking at the Passover and the account of the boy Jesus in the temple. Not only is it the Passover feast that we're hearing about, but Jesus is found on day what? Day three, after the conclusion of the feast, 3 days after the feast is ended. The Passover lambs had been slaughtered, the feast was ended, and then Jesus is located in the temple of his Father. The allusions to Christ's crucifixion and his resurrection are evident. Jesus is called a lamb in Holy Scripture. Jesus is the true Passover lamb, and he will be slaughtered at the cross. He will grow in wisdom and in stature before God and man as he carries all of our sins. Jesus willingly does the Father's will, and so he carries every sin of every person to Calvary, where there the true Lamb of God buys you from death and declares you to be his child in his kingdom. And 3 days later, he rises from the dead, exiting the tomb in triumph, testifying to the world that death could not hold him in the grave. It was after the feast, after the festival, that Jesus is found. The festal celebration of Christmas and New Year's has died down. After all the food, celebration, the much-needed time off from work, routine is now underway here in 2016. It was after the celebration that the terrified parents, Mary and Joseph, looked for their son only to find him in his father's house. Friends, whatever terrifies you, whatever causes you grief, you do not have to look long and hard to find your Savior. You do not have to look and search for peace and relief. Know where Christ promises to be found, and know what Christ came to do. You may think at times that your Savior is lost, and like Mary and Joseph, you have to search really, really hard to find him. The reality is much different than that. One, you are not lost to God. He knows you by name, and he is the God who has even the hairs on your head numbered. God has put his name upon you in holy baptism, and as he will not forget his name, he will not forget you. And far from being lost, Christ is exactly where he promises to be found, where his word is preached and his sacraments are given. Again, whatever terrifies, whatever grieves you, Christ is still present. He is still in his house. You do not have to search. Where God's word is preached, there is your Savior. When a baptism is given, there is your Savior. Where the Lord's Supper is given and consumed, there is your Savior as he promises. Come, listen, and receive. Your Savior is still with his people, gathered in his name. All the accomplishments earned by Jesus at the cross, including his perfect, obedient life as a son, these things God gives you this day. Jesus' perfection is yours insofar as your sin is remembered no more by God. Christ came to redeem, to save, to pardon, to die, to claim us as his own. Your grief, your sorrow, your sin, all of it washed, pardoned, blotted out by God in Christ. This is the Lord's work. He has done it, and he promises that it belongs to you by faith, a promise to which we as his children say, Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen.